Chapter 75. It is not an easy voyage to America. The winds are high. The ship and my stomach are buffeted by waves even my magic cannot quell. I am reminded that there are limits to my power, and some circumstances must be borne with as much grace as one can muster, even if it means spending several days in abject misery, clutching a pan like a life preserver. But the seas do calm. I am able to sip the most glorious cup of broth I have ever tasted. And at last, seagulls flutter overhead in lazy circles, signalling that land is near. Like everyone else, I rush on deck to catch a glimpse of the future. Oh, New York! It is a most marvellous city, deliciously sprawling and filled with an energy that I can feel even from here. The very buildings seem alive. They are not tidy and tended as in Mayfair. Rather, they are mismatched odds and ends of brick and mortar and humanity, all pushing against one another in some strange, glorious syncopation, a new rhythm I long to join. Fathers hoist pinafored daughters and sailor-suited sons onto their shoulders for a better view of it all. A little girl, dwarfed by an enormous hair ribbon, points excitedly ahead.
"Papa, look!"
There, in the city's steam and smoke-smudged harbour, is the most extraordinary sight of all. A great copper-clad lady with a torch in one hand and a book in the other. It is not a statesman or a god or a war hero who welcomes us to this new world. It is but an ordinary woman lighting the way, a lady offering us the liberty to pursue our dreams if we've the courage to begin. When I dream of him. For several nights now he's come to me, waving from a distant shore as if he's been waiting patiently for me to arrive. He doesn't utter a word, but his smile says everything.
"How are you? I've missed you. Yes, all is well. Don't worry."
Where he stands, the trees are in full bloom, brilliant with flowers of every colour imaginable. Parts of the ground are still scorched and rocky. There are hard, bald patches where nothing may ever grow again. It is hard to tell. But in other spots, tiny green shoots struggle their way up. Rich black dirt smooths over the surface of things. The earth heals itself. Kartik takes a stick and digs in the soft new soil. He's making something, but I cannot tell what it is yet. The clouds shift. Shafts of sunlight peek through, and now I can see what he has drawn. It is a symbol, two hands interlocked, surrounded by a perfect, unbroken circle. Love. The day is breaking free. It bathes everything in a fierce light. Kartik is fading from view.
"No," I call. "Come back."
"I'm here,"
he says, "but I can't see. It's too bright."
"You can't hold back the light, Gemma. I'm here. Trust me."
The water washes over the river bank, erasing the edges till there's nothing. But I saw it. I know it's there. And when I wake, the room is white with the morning sun. The light is so bright it hurts my eyes, but I don't dare close them. I won't. Instead, I try to adjust to the dawn, letting the tears fall where they may, because it is morning. It is morning, and there is so much to see.